Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me today is Pat Hamilton.
Hello there.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
Oh my, I am so glad to be here today to encourage you. You know, for so many years, you had to really search for encouragement. And there's so many people that their conversation is not a light conversation. It's a dark conversation because they're pushing like a dark agenda, you know, whether they know it or not. But when you talk, even when Jesus talks, when he talked to and he ministered hope. I mean, he told it like it was. But if you followed him, the light, you had hope. I mean, you had forgiveness of sins and restoration and healing, eternal life, no more tears, golden streets, mansions I'm building for you. But to follow darkness, I just want to encourage you today that there's a lot of folks who have a microphone and a camera in front of them, and they are just, it's just, you know, darkness, agenda in the context of it. And if we have any agenda at all, it's the agenda of the kingdom of God. You know, we're not, it's not unashamedly, you know, the kingdom of God and
Jesus.
And we do have a leader. He's not a CEO, but his name is Jesus Christ.
That's
and
right.
He is Lord. So I just want to pronounce Jesus Christ is Lord over America. Jesus
right.
Christ is Lord over his church. And Jesus Christ is Lord even over the Gulf Coast region down there. Don't forget, we are on now in your living rooms on television. 5:30 p.m. Monday through Friday. We will see you over dinner, maybe tonight.
Hey,
there's going to be prophecy being revealed, and we're putting together maybe a better presentation of it. But you can hear the conversation as we're beginning to see, you know, what God has done, because this is what God does. I mean, to my experience, you look at other folks and they go, "Yes, I knew everything," but to me, it's like, you know, he said to the man of faith, Abraham, the father of faith, he said, "Get thee up and go," right, John?
That's right.
And he said, "I'll show you.
I will show you."
And this so pleased God that he's the one that's going to be welcoming us. We're going to be welcome into Abraham's bosom.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? And it's like, wow. He's going to be, it's just so pleased God. What pleases God is just confidence in knowing that he's Lord. He knows what he's doing. And he doesn't have to tell you everything. He just tell, you know, for a fact, if he told you everything, if you knew how it was going to end, I mean, you think about it when, you know, when Peter and John and maybe James are like business venture head going on their fishing industry. I mean, if they said, by the way, in the end of this, you're going to be stranded on the Isle of Patmos. You're going to be crucified upside down on a cross. And James, you're going to be hung. But other than that, come along with me. Everything's going to be fine. Everything's going to be fine. It's going to be fine, you know, which is different than a gospel that you're hearing preached quite often, you know. I know what you're saying, but I got a noose around my neck right now. I'm just trying to, right, you know, I love Jesus. I know you do too, but help me with this persecution. And so, I mean, if you would have told him everything, I mean, if we would have told Moses, you know, Moses, he's like, no, you know, he was a highly educated man and he thought he was ready to do it because he had a call on his life. Yeah. And he ended up burying his first ministry attempt in the sand. I was like, what was that?
let's not talk about that.
I got to go right now. I got to hear another word. What was it? Run for your life. Pharaoh's coming. And in the context of that, he goes on the backside for 40 years and he just kind of relaxes to the point where he's a stutterer. I mean, you can't be used now because you can't even talk. I mean, right?
Hey.
Proof positive. I mean, look at this. I mean, here are these Southerners on here.
Yeah.
I've never heard. I mean, John's obviously from the South.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
No doubt.
Yeehaw.
Yeehaw. It says like, Ush de la blois espanol. How does it sound country-wise?
All I did was a dobo to chicken.
Yeah.
He's like, that sounded accurate.
No, I didn't see ever. Even though I did have some chicken this week, some chicken twice, seven days.
Hey, chicken.
Yes, as Donna stood in line for me. We are getting to what we're going to cover today. We're going to be talking about Jerusalem and the unemployment rate that's and some different things happening. But
this line, yes,
she stood in this line. This little small. All you got to do is get down. This is all you have to do. Get you a chicken fryer, put you a building around it.
Oh my God.
And they will come. I mean, the only thing, they've got this place called down south. It's called Church's Chicken.
Oh, they have them everywhere. Oh, wow.
Church's Chicken. And in that, the it's basically a small building around a grease fryer. And there's nowhere to hardly stand in there. There's just a little room for the jalapeno pepper, a little room for the corn, which they now have healthy butter on it. So it's just like, it's a, just an artifact. And she stood there for the longest time.
Really?
Longest time to get me. She probably didn't want to cook. No, the, no, she did. And believe it or not, I ordered some chicken livers, some fried chicken livers.
Did you really?
Yes, I did. And, you know, I didn't eat. It was just like, they were not good. My mind started thinking, no, it wasn't. It was chicken ash.
Oh.
It was burnt too much. They just somebody's been a new law about chicken livers. Now you got to cook them until they're actually don't hurt you.
Oh.
So anyway, once she was there, you know, this is actually in the region that just got hit by this huge prophetic storm that happened. Mm-hmm. Biblical proportions, as they're saying. She's talking to a lady, and the place is packed. Mm. So if they'll tell you a successful business. People think it's pizza. Down south, it is a big grease fryer. Mm. It's something that you can dip your chicken in flour and just throw it in there. And they'll line up all day long for biscuits and chicken. They being us. And
well, you and John anyway.
You got to double dip it. You used to. We got pitchers.
Not anymore.
We got pitchers.
I know. Mr.
the chicken man. And in the context of that, this particular lady who was suffering, her whole home had been flooded out. It had been flooded out. Every bit of it was flooded out. And it was so sad because seeing what took place with this tragedy where homes and foundations and roads and all that had been washed out.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just hearing her story. She's in a hotel. And it was packed because so many people are coming into that region of that disaster area to be able to help people out.
Mm-hmm.
People are homeless now. They don't have their homes. You know, it was so good, by the way, to see the VFN family, the VFN Dream Center in Pensacola, Florida. You know, watch them just circle around one of the family members there, that their whole home got flooded out. They had water all the way. I don't know if you can see me. I don't know if you can the camera. They had water all the way up to here, six foot, right up to the mid chest area of 6 foot two or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, having to walk through this rushing water within 30 minutes, they got out of their home, and it was flooded so much. It was all the way up to their chest. Snakes were coming in and you're looking at just minutes in regards to, how quickly disaster can come. We're so fragile. But I just want to tell you right now, what blessed me was to watch all the VFN Dream Center family just gather around and meet that family's needs. And they were praying. They were telling me, you know, they were just praying. I know that Charles was praying. He was saying, you know, he was concerned because they lost everything, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he's wading through the water.
Wading through the water. And he was concerned. He's very tall. And so he's wading through the water. And he has 70,000 plus lightning strikes. And somebody told him that lightning strikes the tallest person. And so he's praying, oh, dear God. Charles is thinking, oh, my goodness, 70,000 strikes. I'm going to be hit. And it's just popping everywhere, you know.
Right.
And of course, you know, you have, you know, Rodriguez that's, you know, I don't know how he actually just floated the thing. Swam. You did it, man.
He did it.
And but he prayed when Charles got onto the high place. He prayed. He said, "Dear God," he said, "what are we going to do?" And the Lord just said, "Hold on to him."
Mm.
And the Lord said, "He's going to provide for him." And within hours of them communicating that, the VFN Dream Center just wrapped around their family and everything that they missed, everything that they were lacking, just instantly from around the nation, just kind of just met their needs. And it's just beautiful. And they're just beautiful people anyway. But just watching, you know, that's what God wants us to do.
Yeah.
He says, whatever you do to the least of these of mine, you do it to me.
That's right.
They know you're my disciples by the love that you have for each other. And for those that, you know, are the church that are listening and watching from around the nation, you know, focus your attention on these disaster areas. Find out how you can help the church. Find out how you can help folks.
Mm-hmm.
And because you don't, it's so weird how these things are hitting that it could totally not touch one neighborhood. And then one community over, maybe about a couple blocks, they could be totally washed out.
Yeah.
And it hit every socioeconomic group.
Yeah.
You know, if you go back and listen some to the words the Lord's been speaking, and I've been sharing what he's been laying on my heart, was this tidal wave that's coming, it's going to hit everybody. You know, it's going to come in and it's going to hit, you know, I said from priests to pimps or something like that, from the podiums to prostitutes. I mean, when a tsunami comes, it hits all of us.
Yeah.
And by the way, God loves all of us.
That's right.
And what's coming with this is the glory tidal wave. And so God is pouring out his glory. He's going to pour out his glory in a powerful way. And we're believing for a glory zone. So that the nations could be reached, and we're seeing God do powerful things. I mean, just huge things. And we want you to be a part of that. And if you missed this broadcast this Sunday from the VFN Dream Center, you got to catch it. Go to vfndreamcenter.org. You know, talking about understanding the significance of what much of the church has skipped over, you know, called power.
You know? Yeah.
I mean, it's just like a powerless church. It's like, give me one more lecture, please. Not, you know, I want to see this God. I want you to speak to me and me wrestle all night long with the fact that I can't get past that word, because that word you spoke to me is truth.
That's right.
You know, I want you to walk up like the woman at the well, and I want you to tell me things about my life that stirs me so much that I go back and tell a village and the whole village gets saved. You know what I'm saying? And it's time. And this is what the Lord's telling me, that it's time for a second Azusa Street, but it's not going to be some local place. It's going to be just nationwide, if not worldwide. But specifically what he's telling me and spoke specifically to me about is America needs a second Azusa Street. And we got a ways to go to get to that congregation, to get to that part of us where we're united and coming together. And I've been talking to some brothers of mine and some sisters of mine that we're one church. You know, we're called to be one, to come together. And all this man-made doctrine, we got to get it out of the way. We got to come to the cross and say, dear Jesus, we want you, including your power. Because Azusa Street was known for power. But just skip over Azusa Street. Go to the Word of God and look what happened when Jesus. I got to tell you that. Jesus walked around after he was raised from the dead for 40 days. If you didn't know that, we're going to talk about that in just a moment. We get back from this break.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
Providing resources on your rights in the workplace. This is Law and Justice with Jay Sekulow.
As a coworker, I have a colleague that is on an FMLA, and I'm just wondering, what are the restrictions of me to that colleague? Am I not allowed to ask any certain questions?
You're talking about someone on the Family Leave Act?
Yeah.
Well, look, I mean, there's a complicated issue when it's not just the Family Leave Act. There's other federal laws that are at play in a situation with an employment and working over the weekends and Sundays, and there's a question of what's called reasonable accommodation. Can a employer make a reasonable accommodation? Those are the kind of things you have to ask in these questions. Let me give you a great resource, though, to go to, and that is our website. We've got a whole section dedicated to these issues, so I encourage you to go to aclj.org to get some information there.
Learn more about your rights in the workplace at aclj.org. That's aclj.org.
Did you know that China, John, is praying, in reports I was listening to The Blaze the other day in that television, and that they're praying that we would be humbled, that America would be humbled.
Wow.
Isn't that something? They said that's our only hope. As a matter of fact, listen right now.
Right.
Yeah. Listen to this right now.
We won't only win. We will overcome and be extraordinarily victorious. There'll be a massive revival. It would change the nature and the face of the world.
Talk to somebody from China, and they said people in China are actually praying for America to be humbled. And I said, thank you very much. And they said they see it over there as the only way the United States will regain its footing is to be seriously humbled. And I have a feeling the humbling is about to begin.
We gained the whole world. We lost our soul. What do we have?
What do we have? Nothing.
Think about that. We are on the edge of some major happenings taking place in the world right now. In the largest part of the church, believe it or not, it's not America. America's only, the entire population of America is only 5% of the world's population, which leaves 95% of 7 billion people who God loves. And the largest part of the church is in China. And our brothers and sisters in China are praying for us. They're praying for us that we would survive. And the key to survival is humility.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light. With your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I just want to quickly cover the headlines before I go back into what, talking about what I was right prior to the break. But just Jerusalem Post is reporting that Israel is celebrating a day of remembrance. It's called the Day of the Fallen, where they remember for 2 minutes of silence, where everybody just stops, and they have these sirens that go on for all those that have fallen in defense or because of standing up for Israel. And there's over 27,000 families right now living in bereavement because they've lost loved ones. I believe there's 1,200 or 2,000 orphans.
Wow.
Because of the attacks on Israel and their soldiers having to do the IDF doing what they're doing. So I just wanted to encourage, by the way, that is going to be on May the 6th. So you want to be able to remember that each year. But also, I thought was pretty interesting is May the 6th is also the day that they celebrate their independence. It's been 66 years since they got their independence. But one thing I thought was pretty interesting is that they're not even written into their own constitution that Israel is the official Jewish state, based on the reports from Jerusalem Post that Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is saying it's time for us to write that Israel is the official nation of Israel.
Yes.
You know, the Knesset needs to do that. And I'd say, Lord, let it, you know, let that be. And the last thing from Israel, just to let you know, that Bibi, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, is saying that he believes that he's talking to people that are taking all these snapshots, these selfies and stuff. He says, you're addicted. You're addicted to your digital devices and all that. He talks about it. I thought it was pretty interesting. Okay. Picture. He says, I don't even have one. Well, and of course, coming back to the headlines in America, you know, you heard it said from the very beginning that what was being said is not true. These are inflated numbers, and they're just
job report.
Yeah, job reports. But I'm thinking about this is the word. It took me a while to come up with. That those who desire to hurt our country are trying to get us as close to the edge as they can, before they just try to push us over. Mm-hmm. And you know, the church hasn't even woke up yet in America, so we don't even know how it's going to come out. But in the context of that one way that seeing how close we can get is to print a whole bunch of money and act like we have money. And the more money that's printed, the less. Imagine you have a dollar in your pocket, and they print more money. When they print more money, that dollar becomes 90 cents, and no longer you don't have a dollar bill anymore. Mm-hmm. And so with that, if they print more money, that means now the dollar that was in your pocket that turned to 90 cents is now to 60 cents and 50 cents and 40 cents, which means you can only buy 40 cents worth of stuff with it. Even though it still looks like a dollar, when you go to the store, it's going to take you $2.25 to be able to get what you used to get with a dollar. So you can be robbed of your retirement just through printing of money. You could have $1 million saved up, like these commercials say. I need at least $2 million for retirement. Well, I don't know what world they're in, but I know. I have seen the Discovery Channel once. Like, how much of the house you're buying?
Exactly.
It can be cut in half. And it is being cut in half. But in addition, they kept on saying the unemployment rate was down low, up high, all these different things. And it is like artificially kept that way.
Right.
But understand this. This is how you know whether the unemployment rate, whether it's good or bad. Do you have a job?
Yeah.
Are they paying you enough money to be able to live on? You can have a job, but your pay could be cut down in half. And the biggest thing to do, the most important thing you can do is work, but also honor God with your increase. honor God with your increase, and he can make, you know, if your employer won't give you the finances, somebody else will just give you a home. I mean, God has a way of blessing you outside of even an oppressive government or an oppressive an employer. So I just want to encourage you in that. But getting back to what I was talking about in regards to the church and power, what we're talking about, the VFN Dream Center, you got to get this and see this. Hopefully, maybe next it'll be available soon at VFNDreamCenter.org. But just getting back to, you know, the transition of when God gave his son, Jesus, to be born here. He was, you know, he was a spirit, but he came down. He was born as a man, all God, when he's walking with, he's born through Mary, you know, the Virgin Mary. But understand, he took on the form of man forever. So he's all God, all man. He did that because he loves us. That's how much God loves us. He came down and took this stuff on. But he did it without sin, where we didn't do it without sin. Mm-hmm. And in that, when he moved into his 3 years of ministry, you know, he lived a sinless life. He demonstrated the love of the Father. When you've seen the Father, you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. But all of a sudden, his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, it looked like it was over. But on the third day, the Father raised him from the dead. But for 40 days, he walked around in a resurrected body. Just walking around. Even other folks that have been dead, holy folks have been dead for years, they came out of the grave. Mm. Hey, Uncle Bobby. Been a while since I've seen you, 100 years. And so he's proving, you know, who he is in the context of that. But then one day, and this is why it's so important for you to enter in towards the end of the Gospels, into the beginning of the book of Acts, because Jesus is about to leave. They don't know he's about to leave yet. I mean, he's telling them, but you know, it's like until you see it happening.
Right.
Because they had power when they were with Jesus. But Jesus was about to go, and as soon as he told him, he says, listen, I want you to do this. I don't want you to go. Wait. Go to this particular place. Go to Jerusalem. Don't go anywhere, and I want you to wait for the promise of the Father. You know, Father God has promised you. Mm. Jesus, I talked about it. If you go back and look in the book of John, you can see where he's talking about, I'm a comforter, yes, but the Father's going to send you a second comforter. And he's going to comfort you. He's going to remind you. He's going to keep you forever to all eternity. And understand that promise is the promised Holy Spirit. And so they're talking, they're listening, but all of a sudden Jesus started coming off the ground. I mean, you're talking to this Jesus who they were familiar with, but now he's resurrected. Mm-hmm. But all of a sudden he just starts getting lifted up real slow. And next thing you know, he's up in the air going further into the clouds, and they're just looking and looking. The clouds just kind of envelop him as he goes up. You know, and two angels stand there in white. They're going, listen, why are you looking? The same Jesus who just left, by the way, from the Mount of Olives, is going to come back to the same mm-hmm. place, the Mount of Olives. And it's time to get busy. Mm-hmm. And so what did he say? He said, go wait. And so they went and waited. What are they waiting for? They're waiting for the promise, the Father's promise. And we talk about Azusa Street. You can understand this. Azusa Street happened in 1906 without texting, without email, without media as we know it. I mean, the photography was just... It was in a stable, you know, a horse stable that was, you know, small. And from a rejected, oppressed individual who cried out to God, Charles Seymour, with one eye. Mm. And God just responded. But he responded because they were all gathered together, as all the nations were gathered together, all the ethnos were gathered together. And I was just speaking in our last broadcast about understanding that, hey, you know, we've got to come together. It's not some just like unity thing. It's a requirement to reach the nations. We're not whole unless we're all together. And if whatever is keeping you from wanting to make that move to come together is sin, it's wounds, it's things God can heal, and it's things God can forgive, but you have to acknowledge it. You have to acknowledge. We have to talk about our reality. Truly, American history has to be rewritten in some areas, because you got to take a separate college class to find out what happened to your particular ethnos group in America, because they don't teach it. They don't teach it. You have to go watch, you know, other things to be able to find out what's going on. And God taught me some things that had happened, and it's horrific. But God, and we're not talking about the world, we're talking about the church, that mm-hmm. if the church, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. So I would encourage you. You know, go back and begin to look at the transition when Jesus was finished with his work here on earth. He went to heaven. When he went to heaven, He asked the Father, because Peter explained it. He said, Jesus, just ask the Father to send the Holy Spirit. And what you're seeing right now is the promised power, the promised Holy Spirit of God. And everybody began to understand. If you're wondering why people don't understand you, it's because you don't have power. You don't have the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, the promise of the Father. We need him to remind us. We need him to guide us in the name of Jesus Christ. I encourage you, go back and search the scriptures, and in them you'll find what I say to be true. And maybe, maybe, if, maybe God will bring a second Azusa Street to the United States of America. Dear Lord, Third Great Awakening.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
You know, every one of us go through times in our life where it just seems hopeless. As a matter of fact, I remember watching young people who had on their windshields with vinyl lettering. The words were hopeless. I couldn't believe that. Why would you put that? Don't put that on your... You know, and I can understand, maybe it's a cry of your heart. You're going, listen, I need hope. Well, I got news for you that right now on your on VFNTV.com or on your VFNTV app, and you can find it by going to your browser and type in VFNTV.com, and it'll lead you through the steps to be able to have it on your iPhone or your mobile device or your iPad or iPod or your all the wonderful stuff that they have out there. And so, but with that, you can get hope, because you got to understand that, you know, when you think about Abraham, against all hope, in hope, he still believed. It's okay. A lot of times we're looking and said, okay, I've looked at the evidence. I looked at my inabilities. I looked at my finances. I looked at my relationship. I looked at what everybody's saying about me. I looked at all these different things. But you can do that. You can look at your reality. It's okay in God to look at your reality. And in the natural sense, it ain't going to happen.
Right.
But you still can have hope against that hope, but it's a different hope. It's called faith. It says, now faith is being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you don't see. And it's hope. It's that kind of hope. You know, inside of me, it hasn't manifested yet, but what I'm believing God for is going to come to pass. You know, and I have a dream. I literally have a dream that God is going to pour out a third great awakening. I know, obviously, you know, that, you know, the church is going to have to be, you know, in agreement with what God is saying. But I'm just believing you. That's why we're on VFN TV and VFN radio, to be able to talk to you and encourage you. Listen, it's God's got good plans in store for you, good plans in store for you. And I have a dream.
Welcome to the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. I want to welcome our Christian Television Network audience around the nation and around the world, and our VFN radio audience as well. I want to welcome our viewers Monday through Friday now. We're in your living rooms on television, Christian Television Network on the Gulf Coast, from Destin to Mississippi. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news you know. We really want to be able to bring you hope without denying reality. So we want to be able to look reality dead in the face and say, dear God, what does this mean? Which means no fear. It means that, you know, we have to be able to tell it like it is, where a lot of people have a tendency to say, well, you know, I want to be thought well of in so-and-so's eyes. And it's like, I want to be thought well of in God's eyes.
Exactly.
And, but I don't mind you liking me, you know, I don't mind. I kind of like that. Right. And, but joining me, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And John Ramos.
Hello.
My goodness, if you missed the earlier program, you got to catch it, talking about, you know, we got to get back to the original intent. What did Jesus do when he left the church? because there's something that he did in such a powerful way by going releasing the Father's promise when he got to heaven that birthed the church. And it's sort of like saying, we're going to live this life out. And it's like, you haven't been born yet, mm-hmm. Or powerless. And you can really think about that when you think about it is imagine that your power goes out. We had a storm here just recently, in the Gulf Coast region where the studios are and the Dream Center's at. And power has gone out for a lot of places. Mm-hmm. You can build a house. You can run wires in it. You can put receptacles in it. You can put switches in it. You can do all these different things in it. But it means nothing until you have power. And how many people, what they're calling church, it's like, yeah, you have all the parts and you have all the pieces, but mm-hmm. there's nothing surging through these wires here. My heart is not changed. I feel no conviction. I feel entertained, mm-hmm. as, Kichara says out of Texas, he says, I had a concert, man. Wow. We got on trolley cars and my kids got barcodes put on them. And we went in there and we had this concert. It was a big, huge concert.
Valet parking.
And nobody knew anybody, but she almost got ran over by a fellow employee. He didn't even recognize her. Good morning, Kijara. How are you doing this morning? The Texas School District that's there. But there should be a difference. When people come into your presence, and I know we're just going right into this today, but understand there should be a difference in your life. You should be different. You shouldn't have to say, I'm a Christian, which is okay, but they should know you are. Right. Your conversation, should be about Jesus, and his perspective, the one you love that gave his life for you, and the power and the presence of the Spirit of God. It should be in your life. It just should be different. And it's like, if people that you hang around that profess to be Christians, when you start talking about what the Word of God says, and they go, great. Oh, you just teach all the time. You just talk about God all the time. It's like you got the wrong friends. They don't love Jesus. If you don't love his word, you don't love him. And understand, find some folks who want to hear about the one that you love that loves you. Hang around those folks.
That's right.
I remember when Smith Wigglesworth had a visitor. It was Lester Summerall. And when Lester Summerall came over to see Smith Wigglesworth, and Smith Wigglesworth was just a powerfully used man of God. It was a plumber called by God that just, massive healings and just everything. So you wonder, what does he do in his private time? Obviously, so many people think, why don't you, go do this? It's like, there's nothing greater than doing what we're doing. I mean, why would there be something else? I mean, like, what? And so he comes over with a newspaper up under his arm, and he's going in there to visit Smith Wigglesworth at his house. And Smith Wigglesworth tells him right up front, he points at him, he says, what's that under your arm? And it was a newspaper. And he said, you can't bring that in this house. And so he took it and he threw it in the bushes. And he went in there and he had a meal with Smith Wigglesworth, somebody that was used powerfully by God. And you know what he did? He pulled out his Bible and he read scripture. Mm-hmm. And when he finished reading scripture, he goes, that's it. It's been nice spending time with you. You got to do this again sometime.
Wow.
Because it's all about God.
Yeah.
It really is. We're going to spend eternity.
Yeah.
And our eternity is going to be based on what we're doing now. What are you going to do for him now?
Yeah. You're talking about Smith Wigglesworth. There was an account, a story that's been told about of his life. He had a powerful ministry and talking about the church moving in power. This is a man who knew God, walked with God. And people would sit down. He'd be at a train station sitting down and people would sit next to him. And they would feel such conviction. They would look at him and say, your presence just convicts me. Like, who are you? This deep conviction. But there's an account of, because there's reports and testimonies about all the things that happened through his ministry. And this is a time with no texting, no email, no videos, no YouTube.
We say that because it's such a hard thing to grasp for today's
really
generation.
Is. And so when you hear these
testimonies. Call trains. And
you hear these testimonies and I'm sure they wondered how much of this was God. And, so this story goes that these pastors went to go see Smith Wigglesworth and they wanted to see, okay, this source of power. And so he began to pray. He prayed often. He was praying in this room. And all of them said, we're going to pray with Smith Wigglesworth. Mm-hmm. Well, as he continued to pray, the glory of God is just starting to manifest, mm-hmm. and it was getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And as the story goes,
Each minister, one by one, had to walk out of the room because they could not be in the presence of God as Smith Wigglesworth was praying.
Right.
The very last minister said he's going to stay here no matter what, and he was just hanging in there. As the story goes, he had to crawl out on his belly for dear life, screaming the entire time trying to get out the room because it's just the power and the glory of God, and just Smith Wigglesworth was meeting God there in prayer. It's like they had to get out.
Yeah, dear Lord, that's what we want. I mean, you want to you want to have that communion with God. And think about it. The only thing that keeps you or us from that communion is our choices. You know, what choices do we make? And when you look at Smith Wigglesworth, he just didn't want to take in, you know, he didn't sit there and watch CNN News all day long and let them broadcast negative things over. Obviously, CNN News wasn't there, but the newspapers were there, just, you know, whatever was happening. And you just can't let anybody just speak into your life. It's going to mess with your faith. It's going to mess with your confidence. And the Satan is really going to take over their tongue like he did with Peter and Jesus. I mean, think about this. That Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. Right? He said, don't go to Jerusalem, is what Peter said. He said, you almost tempted me. This is Jesus. You almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. So if Jesus could be tempted by a conversation, by somebody who allowed their mouth to be used by the adversary, if you sit and watch media whose mouth is totally taken over by the dollar, you know, that's driven by the dollar. Most of the folks are just talking heads, and nothing against that. That's a way of delivering things. But they're reading a prompter, and that's all been thoroughly gone over by a corporate world. Will this match with our sponsors, and will our advertisers stay with us? And you're releasing doubt. They're releasing doubt into your life. They're not having a contextual, you know, faith base to it. I mean, even the secular media years ago would have, this is what Rick Joyner said. Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministry said, he said, I don't know if the Lord had revealed this to him. Obviously he did, but how he got it, I can't remember. But he said, in the 50s, in the 1950s in America, that people didn't even know God, didn't even know him, feared him. But today, people who claim to know him have no fear of God.
Wow.
And it's like, that's not a good combo. That's not a good combo in regards to that. And you got to hear this. We come back from the break. I want you to hear, you know, Rick Joyner from Morningstar Ministries talking about martial law. And we saw martial law take place in a smaller scale during all the hurricanes that came, Katrina and Ivan and all that. But martial law also can be kicked in a nationwide situation. And it's a default setting for the direction that we're going in. George Washington, he enacted martial law. Others have enacted martial law. It's something that's in the Constitution. But it makes a difference who's in power when that happens and what are they going to use it for. You got to hear this. When we come back, I want you to hear Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries talk about what the Lord had revealed to him about martial law. And that's basically when all of our constitutional rights are gone. And we basically have a dictator for that period of time. And quite often it's done for safety reasons and to be able to help. But sometimes it can be done for evil reasons. Mm. We'll get back from the break. You got to hear this.
You're listening to VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can locate us at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
There's so many things happening in the nation. There was a time, if you remember, it just seemed like, is anybody paying attention? Mm-hmm. Is the church awake? Of course, what we saw in regards to American citizens, but they were praying. They were actually got on their knees and they began to pray. But I'm also noticing down, not only in Nevada, not only in Texas and other nations, but I've been seeing even in the Gulf Coast where I've been watching, there's been 100 days of prayer going on, 100 days of prayer, praying for revival across denominational, non-denominational lines. And in that, they are just crying out for revival. They're cutting across denominational lines, and it's exciting to see that it appears to be being led by Pastor Ted Traylor of Olive Baptist Church. And what's so cool is that even this week, as it's coming closer to Resurrection Day, And we're going to just, as a matter of fact, we're going to hear from Pastor John Kilpatrick in a moment about this, about the Resurrection Day, is about the Passover, is
that each day a different minister from the city, from, you know, one denomination to another denomination to another denomination, then this is how revival happens. Mm-hmm. It's just beautiful to see that. And for those that are listening in the Gulf Coast, I mean, you're looking at, you know, Pastor, I believe, Rogers from an Assemblies of God in Pace, Florida, to Pastor Bernard Yates, you know, a father in his church, a family and a leader. It's just, can't even name them all right now, but it's just all the different mm-hmm. pastors yeah. that are coming together. And if you, want to be a part of that, you know, make sure you get a chance. You can go to, I believe it's Olive Baptist. You can find out more at olivebaptist.org, but it's not just a Baptist. It's everybody coming mm-hmm. together in 100 days of prayer, asking God to send revival.
Wow.
And it is so exciting to see that. And it's such an answer to so many who've prayed. It says, dear Lord, you know, help us. And according to the wall of Jeremiah Johnson saw when he was walking through this area, it looks, that's a wall that's down when yeah. you start seeing, you know, the you know, ministers come together in mm-hmm. a fellowship like that and across denominational lines, all for Jesus. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. All for Jesus. So I'm hoping to be able to get out there myself this week. I definitely want to be there for Pastor Bernard Yates
yes.
to hear what's being said.
You're listening to VFN Radio, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back to VFN TV and Daily Radio Program. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. We were talking about martial law. And martial law, I don't have it in front of me right now. If I read it to you, maybe John can read martial law to us. The it has happened many times in the history of America. Presently, when you ask yourself, and this is not to invoke any kind of fear, it's just wisdom. When you see police departments and sheriff's departments buying armored vehicles all the way around the nation, when you see Homeland Security purchasing, you know, reportedly, you know, billions of rounds of information of
ammunition,
they're thinking possibly there's a financial crash ahead of us. And you have to understand, when your God goes down, you panic. And America's God is money. It used to be one nation under God, whose son is Jesus Christ, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And we're believing it is going to be again when the church rises up to its place of repentance and following the Lord. But either way, so you know who your God is when it's removed from your life, when you're about to lose your job, and now you're trying everything in the world, you're panicking, you're taking meds, you're stressing. Mm-hmm. I was like, was that your God?
Right.
The thing that God gave you, was that your God? Or, you know, you get a notice saying, you know, you're going to lose your house, or you're going to be evicted from your apartment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for 10 years, you never even thanked God once. You never even honored God with the increase he gave you. And all of a sudden, you know, you're just sweating and panicking. It's because that job was your God. That house was your God. Your comfort was in the very thing God gave you. Mm. You worship things rather than the Creator. You worship creation instead of the Creator. But you know what? All you got to do is go, oh, I was wrong. That was not. And so in this shifting, you'll notice that there's going to be, and I pray it isn't, but what God has shown me, that there's going to be an uprising. In the uprising, people are going to define it a lot of ways, but the root of it is money, economics, economy. And with stuff, when stuff happens like that, you know, people just, whatever's inside of them comes out. And you'll be surprised what's inside of you. What people do to survive. People try so hard to live that they never do, mm-hmm. but they try so hard to live. It's like, I mean, you went through all of that. You disrespected all them folks. You finally got that position and job only to come home and watch television
to go get a boat and go fish. I mean, what are you doing? I mean, really, I mean, what, you know what I'm saying? What are you living for? And have you ever asked yourself the question, you know, why am I doing what I'm doing?
Mm-hmm.
And wait. And just answer, why am I doing? You might find out that you don't even know why you're doing what you're doing. A rut. A lot of people are in a rut. And a rut is nothing but a grave with both ends kicked out. That's what it is. But God's come to set us free. He has destiny for you. And if you're wondering how your life can have meaning and have purpose and you finally can throw off these things that keep throwing you out, it's when you get vision and destiny. When you can see yourself in the destiny God has for you, when you can see yourself in the vision of God, you don't perish. You don't cast off restraint. You're able to, the vision will restrain you because now you understand where you're going and what you're doing. But you got to hear the vision of God and God, what he wants done on this earth. And he wants his kingdom to come and his will to be done. But this martial law with uprisings, you're going to see throughout the land, probably soon in Detroit, if not with all the shootings that are going on in Detroit. But take a look. And I want you to listen to Rick Joyner talk about martial law, Morningstar Ministries. This is so drives home the point. Listen up.
I have seen for 25 years, more than that, we would be under martial law in America. Would be under martial law in America. I believe that is going to happen. To me, this is not something that we're going to avoid. Okay, I've been saying that more boldly lately because I've been released to do that. Now, I think it could be the best thing that happened to us or it could be the worst. The big deal about martial law is who's the marshal. Now, there are some things that we have gone so far, they cannot be rectified by our present. Our elected officials are not addressing things that are going to destroy us. Some things are going to happen. Now, it really does depend on who is the marshal when this happens. And I believe one of the signs is who honors the Constitution and who dishonors it. This is a key thing because this is the basic vow that every officer and every public official takes. And this is a basic thing that reveals integrity. And if someone tried to impose martial law to keep us from having an election or doing other things, even using civil unrest for that, I'd say this is bad. This is not the good one. This is the bad one. But there is, when conditions happen and where it is necessary, and this is one of the reasons we went down to Katrina. The Lord had shown me this. You need to learn what it is like to live through every stage they're going to go through down there, from the lawlessness that was unbelievable during the first stage. But I tell you, when the army came into that situation, everybody was happy about it, except for the lawless, the gangs and all, who disappeared. I mean, they brought order, they brought discipline. And our government officials, in my opinion, at that situation, the governor and the mayor of New Orleans were creating the chaos. They were just fanning the flames of lawlessness. And the army came, order, peace. They put a National Guard unit on our base just to watch. And man, we were so thankful for them. And I think if it comes in the right situation, it will be a reset and a jubilee and get us back to our right foundations. So I know you just hear martial law, it's scary. But listen, we are headed for some things that we've got to face that we've long passed the point where they could be fixed just by our own dealing with things. We've let them gone way too far. And, you know, it's going to take a real decisive acting authority to deal with some of these things and get us back on track. But it's going to be the greatest opportunity for tyranny too. If we're awake and if we're mobilized and we're reaping the harvest, we're prepared for what's coming, the light is going to prevail. But you know, the United States of America is not the kingdom of God either, and we can never forget that. I believe God wants to preserve it. He wants to keep, he gave us our foundations. He began a good thing, wants to see it finished. once it completed. And I believe that's what we're going to see. I believe that what he began in America, we're going to see it completed. But we're going to have to go through a rough, rough period because of the foolishness and the selfishness of and how awry our present system has gotten. I'm prophesying that.
That's amazing when you're seeing that. And we've seen it. I remember when martial law comes in and John Spicks and to read us what martial law says and the times, some of the times that has happened. But they tell you when you can get gas, when you can leave your house, when you can't leave your house, curfews come in.
That's right.
They tell you, you know, it just, you know, every parent's had martial law in their house. You know, I'm just like, I don't care what I said. The rules are over.
It's done.
This is what you're going to do. Go to your room.
Right.
It's like, Dad, I'm 50. You know, I mean, everybody's had, you know, it's like, forget about right now. Things are crazy.
Yeah.
And some, it could be good depending, but he also says it's very, it's a time where people who desire tyranny. And right now there's a lot of folks in a lot of positions of power all around America, all around the world, who desire tyranny. They desire to just take over because they feel, whatever they're held captive by, they feel like they're right.
Right.
They feel like they have, and they see this one world economy. They see this digital divide to be, you know, met and just control all forms of government, you know, through, you know, as I was just hearing recently of the president of Google. He's came out with a new book just being released, and it talks about, you know, that we have taken down in the day of those that these leaders that are, you know, just evil, they're going to come down because the people are going to take them down. But the whole thing about it is, but outside the world, what happens in the world, God has order and he leads. We don't lead God. We don't all of a sudden, you know, take over social media and just turn God into a different God.
Right.
We turn away from God. But what is, tell us about what happened. It was 1906, right, during Azusa Street.
Well, yeah. Well, one of the things about martial law is that it is the imposition of military power over designated regions on an emergency basis.
So this is, right now, the Constitution says military cannot have any authority over us at all. They can only protect us from outside. But martial law says, wait a minute. Now the soldiers can come in.
Yeah, that's what the big deal that Rick Joyner says is the big deal about martial law is who's the marshal.
You know, whoever the president is at that time is the marshal.
Which says martial law is usually imposed on a temporary basis when the civilian government or civilian authorities fall to function or fail to function effectively. And so it's supposed to designed to maintain order and security and to provide essential services on a large scale.
List some of the times there.
Okay, in the United States, this is really interesting. During the American Revolution, since martial law was imposed in New Orleans during Louisiana in the War of 1812 with General Andrew Jackson, during the Great Chicago Fire, 1871, in Idaho in 1892, and in the San Francisco earthquake of 1906.
Which is Azusa Street.
Yes, as following the earthquake of 1906, the troops stationed in Presidio were pressed into martial law service. Guards were posted throughout the city, and all dynamite was confiscated. The dynamite was used to destroy buildings in the path of the fires to prevent the fires from spreading. This happened in a Colorado coalified war, West Virginia coal wars. Speaking of coals in the news today... Tulsa race riot in 1921 in Oklahoma. The National Guard was called out. San Francisco again in 1934 in Hawaii, and then Freedom Riders 1961.
The Freedom Riders when they started getting attacked in the buses and all. So it's not a negative thing. It's to protect us unless the people in power seek tyranny. But despite all that, realize when the San Francisco earthquakes took place in 1906, in the midst of all of that martial law, that's when Azusa Street happened. That's when this powerful outpouring happened that touched the entire world in 1906. So understand this, whatever, I mean, you think about all the wild folks that are going on just doing whatever and they're just bringing harm to our nation. When martial law kicks in, they can't do that. They can't do that. So if you're for God and for our country, you're going to see maybe that it might even be a positive thing to be able to do what's going on. Either way, know that our God is over all marshals on the earth. He's over all laws, and his law is above all these laws. And understand that he holds our future in his hand. Dear God, end abortion, send revival, send a third great awakening to America, God.
We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit them at VFNTV.com. Visit our sponsors today. We have all their contact information, their phone numbers, their web addresses. They're ready to hear from you. Visit our sponsors and partners at VFNTV.com. Become a partner today. It's you partnering with us, giving and sowing financially, that makes this all possible. VFNTV.com.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget, you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. Goodness, listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it, in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast. I'd like to give a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there, because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. Mm-hmm. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Just go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded in your stuff somehow, and you can play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool, because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. Buy the, we're giving it to you. There it's you yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to VFNTV.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
I want to encourage you, if you have a Christian business, you have any business, and you want to stand with us, we really want to get together with you. We love promoting those that love to stand for God, country, and Israel. And we want to give you that opportunity to do so. And we also want you, like you were talking about, you know, a little while ago, Greg, to visit some of our sponsors. These are wonderful people. I got a chance to meet all of them and meet with them and know their heart. But we have sponsors. If you need a vehicle, you can visit Glenn Parker. I mean, if you're looking to rent or buy a home, you want to talk to Mark Downey. I mean,
Mark Downey Associates. He is the man and his team.
Yeah, they're excellent. You have a great meal. You want to go visit Auntie's out in Cantonment. Ooh, barbecue.
The taste of Southern soul.
There's so many wonderful places and so many great sponsors.
Her food is so good. I was sitting there having her food. I could tell you. This man came in. He's going to have his first ribs off of her smoker. And I said, I looked at him, remember? And I said, can I watch you take your first bite?
Right?
Yeah.
And I turned my head and I missed his first bite. But he came back later and he says, they was good. That's Auntie's, right?
Auntie's.
Off of Highway 29.
A taste of Southern soul.